Praise the Lord. I already feel so blessed by the sweet worship we've had this morning, by the prayers, the speakings, the poetry. What a blessing to be here today. So good morning, church family. Happy Mother's Day. I'm so thankful today for God's goodness and for his faithfulness. I am the mother of three amazing children and a grandma to 11 precious grandchildren. Thank you, Pastor Ralph, for trusting me to speak to the church. I actually received advice from three or four people about sharing my message today. First of all, Pastor Ralph heard me share some of this message at one of our worship team luncheons and asked if I would share it with the church. Secondly, some of the ladies in the ladies' Bible study encouraged me to be joyous this week as I prepared to speak and as I speak. And I already feel that joy of the Lord. And thirdly, my husband, Peter, who's on the soundboard up there, he said, keep it short. So, you know, when I see him do this, I know it's time to stop. The ladies' Bible study group actually heard me speak a more comprehensive study on this message a few years ago. So here I am again, sharing on the power of praise and worship. Every time I minister on this, I realize that I need to do a better job of practicing what I preach. So if I'm feeling the need to hear this message again, then perhaps we all do. I'm exhorting us to make praise, thanksgiving, and worship a lifestyle. Living a life of praise is not only the most enjoyable way to live, but it's also one of the most powerful ways to change your life. Praise isn't like the caboose that just follows what happens, but it's more like the engine of a train that makes things happen. Nearly everyone agrees that praise is good, but very few feel any responsibility to praise God when they don't feel like it. I don't know anyone who wakes up in the morning and they plan on being depressed. They would like to be happy and praise God, but they don't feel they have any control over this. They think that praise is just a response to what happens, and that if everything goes right, they'll just automatically do it. That is definitely not the case. The scriptures tell us over 500 times to praise or worship God. Sounds like something we should be paying attention to. Amen? We need to praise him. And what are the results if we do? Well, that is what my message is about today. Praise is faith in action. The dictionary definition of praise is to express approval and commendation of, to applaud, to eulogize, to express adoration of, to give thanks, to laud, or to glorify. Worship means when all that is within me cries holy. Worship is the total focus of heart, soul, mind, and spirit on God himself. And it's our expression of love and adoration. Worship is a response to a relationship with God. As we look upon him and adore him, we are changed into his image and likeness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18 says, but we all, with open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You become like the one you are worshiping. Many of the Psalms exhort us to praise God, so it is an obedient response to God's word as well, to give him glory. For example, Psalm 149:1-6 says, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and the harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands." Amen. We heard the worship team lead us in Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2 this morning. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night. Psalm 150 alone tells us to praise God 13 times throughout that one psalm. Psalm 100, verse 4, encourages us to enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful to him and bless his name. Just doesn't have to be on Sundays when the worship team leads you into worship that you learn to praise the Lord. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship can become a lifestyle. So let's look at the 8 results of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. Sigurd gave us a great list too. Then really, these are all just the tip of the iceberg. I'm sure you can come up with more yourself. Number 1, victory. Do you ever feel like you're in a battle? When we praise and we worship him, his presence is manifested in our midst. When we have his presence, we have his power also. Power for every situation that we are facing. One of my favorite stories of victory in the Bible is about King Jehoshaphat. His story is astonishing and encouraging to us. King Jehoshaphat found himself nearly at war against an army much larger than his. How often the fight that comes to us is more massive than we feel we can even handle. Sometimes the mountain of problems seems so big, the ocean of fears can be so deep, or the furnace can seem 7 times hotter than usual. Perhaps your mountain is a relationship problem, your ocean is debt, or your furnace is sickness, or some other impossible situation. But take heart, because God has a promise for every situation. It's remarkable how people expect God to do something for them, and yet they do not understand if God promised it or not, because they have not searched for it in the Word. We praise God because he is good and he does good. His promises in his Word are yes and amen. So back to King Jehoshaphat. When he got word of this impending battle, he purposed to hear from God. And he called all the people to gather together and fast and pray so they could seek an answer. As the people gathered, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through Jehaziel, a priest, and God gave them a promise that day. God said in Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." The king got a promise from God, and now he could face the war at hand because he knew this was a battle only God could win. In Psalm 22, verse 3, it says that God inhabits the praises of his people. God is with us all the time in the person of the Holy Spirit. But when we praise God based on his goodness, his faithfulness, and his love for us, we then experience that manifested presence of God where miracles can happen. So when we establish in our hearts God is who he says he is, the more faith we can express in his promises. And those promises just fuel our praise. King Jehoshaphat got his promise from God, and he believed. He set out to do what God had told him. He gathered the people the next day, and he gave them a pep talk based on the promise he got from God. And they got ready to take their positions of war. It's marvelous the way God calls us to war, and it's not the way of the world. The Apostle Paul tells us our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. In every battle, we must learn to stand in faith, believing in God's promises. Praise him. Praise him. Thank him for that promise. And he will show up and he will fight for you. Armed with priests and singers, they were ready for battle. To the army on the other side, it might have looked kind of ridiculous on every level. They must have thought, we have the victory in this one, and probably laughed at the situation. But little did they know, this army would not fight this battle in their own strength, but the God of the universe would show up and defend them. So too, know that God never changes, and if he did it back then for King Jehoshaphat, he'll do it again for you. When all else is lost, when it looks impossible, and you have a promise from God, you are positioned for the victory as you stand and declare the goodness of the Lord. King Jehoshaphat did no war chant, but they stood and gave thanks to the Lord. They focused their praise on their God and how good, faithful, kind, and loving he was, establishing that his qualities would last forever. So the singers and the worshipers went ahead of the army. As they praised and worshiped the Lord caused the enemies to fight each other and destroy themselves. And I'm going to read that last part of that account in 2 Chronicles 20, 20 to 24, and I'm reading from the New King James. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of his holiness. As they went out before the Lord, before the army, and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to a place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and there were their dead bodies fallen on the earth. No one had escaped. Now, isn't this amazing? When going to battle against three nations, it would be common sense to put the strongest soldiers on the front lines, right? But they put their singers and their musicians up there. They didn't have any weapons of war. They were believing the word God had given. They were not expecting to fight. they were believing God for a supernatural victory. Praise releases God's power and strength to still the enemy. Satan loses his power when God's people begin to praise. They were so focused on God and praising him, and they didn't even focus on the enemy. What you focus on magnifies and expands. So let our focus be on God and his promises. Amen. Number two, breakthrough. When Joshua was facing the wall of Jericho, he fell face down in worship before the Lord. The Lord gave him instructions to tell the people to walk silently around the city for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they were to make a great shout unto the Lord. So I'm just going to read a few portions from Joshua 6, 8 to 11, 15, 16, and 20. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, excuse me, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, then you shall shout. So we had the Ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. But it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early, about the dawning of the day, and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner. On that day only, they marched around the city 7 times. And the seventh time it happened, when the priests blew the trumpets, that Joshua said to the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Do you have some walls that need to come down? Perhaps you need a breakthrough in your life. But how explicit were those instructions that God gave Joshua? The procession around the walls of Jericho was a procession of worship, more than a procession of military might. There's something profound about responding to the challenges of our lives, not with an act of vehement defiance or shaking of the fist, but with an act of worship. We look to the Lord's strength and not our own. In worship, we recognize that the Lord alone provides the way forward. And one of the keys here is they were obedient to what God told them to do. Explicit instructions, and they obeyed. The time you don't feel like praising him is when you should be praising him. Even when you're facing that wall of resistance. Paul said in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm laughing because our Tuesday night Bible study group, that's become our line, hasn't it? It's our verse. It's our verse. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And Paul didn't just say it once. He said it twice. He didn't want anyone thinking he had made a mistake or that there were exceptions to what he said. We are always supposed to be rejoicing in the Lord. It's a command, not a suggestion to do it if we feel like it. When you rejoice, you feel joy. When you praise, you feel more like praising. And when you give thanks, you feel more thankful. Do you want to know what the will of God is? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. We may not feel joyful, but in Galatians 5:22, it says that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. Therefore, we have joy. Amen? There, it's in our spirits. We may not feel that joy, but we can choose to lift our hands and speak forth praise to God in faith. It's a choice. Learning to praise God even when everything is going badly will change our hearts, make us much more effective, release those fruits that are in us, and cause our faith to abound, which is what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Breakthroughs will happen. Number 3, freedom. Let's read in Acts 16, verse 23 to 26, how Paul and Silas experienced freedom. Don't we love this? We love this. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were loosed. Paul and Silas had been beaten repeatedly and bound before they were put in prison. In the midst of their pain and their bondage, they began to praise and worship the Lord. And the Lord delivered them in a mighty way. They did not murmur and complain against God because of their pain and their suffering. They did not wait till God delivered them before they offered him praise. When we praise and worship the Lord in the midst of our bondages and our pain and our suffering, we can experience freedom. They weren't praising God through gritted teeth just to get out of their problem. When they were set free, amazing thing is they didn't leave. Like, wouldn't you just want to run out of there? They were actually praising God because they loved him and were worshiping from a pure heart. It so affected the other prisoners that none of them left either. They had a revival meeting right there in the prison. And the keeper of the prison got saved, and his whole household. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. What a glorious revival meeting that must have been, right in that prison. Number 4, deliverance. In praise and worship, there is deliverance from demonic oppression. In 1 Samuel 16, 14 to 23, we read that Saul was tormented by an evil spirit. So they brought David to play the harp before him. David was a worshiper, and as he played the harp and worshiped the Lord, the evil spirit left Saul, and he was refreshed. Even though David himself had experienced many trials, he said in Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Today, since we now live in the new covenant and Jesus has defeated Satan, do you know what praising God does to Satan? It reminds him of his defeat. Satan is well aware of the importance of praise. In Matthew chapter 4, 8 to 9, he tried to tempt Jesus with material gain if Jesus would only worship him. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to Jesus. So Satan just can't handle it when we praise God. And this is one of the best ways to get him to flee. Satan is allergic to praise. James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise and worship drives out the spirit of fear and doubt and unbelief. Psalm 8:2 says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Praise. Praise is strength to silence the enemy. Number 5, revelation. When we praise and worship the Lord, we can receive revelation of his will and his purpose. When the kings of Israel, Judah, and Edom went to battle against the king of Moab, they faced a great danger when they ran out of water for their troops. They sought the mind of the Lord from the prophet Elisha. Elisha called for a harpist to play before him. The story you'll find in 2 Kings chapter 3. And as the harpist played and worshiped the Lord, the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he received a revelation of the promise of God to his people. The Lord provided the water they needed and also promised them victory in the battle. When we praise and worship the Lord, we create a conducive environment to receive divine revelations and guidance and promises. Number 6, intimacy. Adam and Eve experienced an intimate relationship with God as they fellowshipped with him in the garden. Imagine what that was like. They probably reveled in the beauty around them and offered thanks to God every day. They enjoyed the presence of the Lord with them daily. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God wants intimacy with us. And what greater joy than to have that fellowship with him? What a blessing to be in the presence of God. Number 7, healing. When we praise and worship the Lord, we will experience healing and miracles. In the book of Matthew, we read about the leper who worshiped Jesus and was healed from his leprosy. The ruler who worshiped Jesus had his daughter raised from the dead. The Canaanite woman who worshiped Jesus received deliverance for her daughter from demon possession. I love the story of the 10 lepers who came to Jesus in Luke 17. This is verses 12 to 19. As Jesus entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said to him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now, what was the difference here between the nine and the one that returned? I heard a sermon once about how thanksgiving makes you whole. And obviously, it must have really hit home because I still remember it, and it was years and years ago. And I think this story illustrates this principle so well. You know, when you have leprosy, you often lose parts of your body, right? So you might lose your fingers. I think maybe this leper that turned back to give thanks not only was healed, but was made whole. Those fingers that he might have lost grew back. That's what the King James says. Other versions say restored to health or made well. And I think that this leper, because he gave thanks, not only was healed, but had everything restored to him. I have a personal story about healing. Our daughter Meg was very ill when she was a toddler. She was experiencing a lot of pain. I used to put her in the rocking chair and put on Kids Praise music. Cassettes, remember those old things? She would rock and sing. When I put her to bed at night, we would sing praise songs together. We saw healing manifest in her. And the Lord gave us revelation as to how we were to move forward so she stayed healthy. You know, today, Meg is a music therapist. I'm thinking how blessed her patients must be that not only do they hear her beautiful voice, but they're brought into the presence of God when she walked into the room because she has the Spirit living within her. Jeremiah 17:14 says, heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Well, church family, it's Mother's Day, and it can be a joyous day for some and a hard day for others. It's always been particularly significant to me because it was 42 years ago yesterday that our second son, Roger, was born. 3 weeks after his dad, my first husband, Stan, passed away suddenly in an accident. When I look back on what I went through at that time, I can only describe it as a supernatural experience because of how close I felt the Spirit of God during that time. I can truly say that as I meditated on the Word of God and praised Him in the midst of the storm, that the presence of God brought me comfort, peace, and even hope. The day of Stan's death, I was doing a Bible study on the fruits of the Spirit. And that particular lesson that day was on peace. I learned from the scriptures in that study that the Lord's peace is His supernatural rest in the midst of conflict. This little story was included in that study, and I've heard this story actually a few times right from this pulpit. There is a story told of a contest with a prize for the painting best depicting peace. Many beautiful pictures of mountains and quiet lakes, of pastoral scenes, of pleasant home scenes were submitted, but the prize was awarded to a painting showing a thunderous waterfall. At first glance, the picture seemed to show the opposite of peace. Upon closer scrutiny, however, it could be seen that the artist had included, sitting on a projecting ledge of rock behind the torrent of water, a mother bird calmly feeding her babies. Well, little did I know how that story would depict me that night and on through the next few years. The Bible verses I had learned from my study that day would give me the strength to get through the nightmare I would be facing that night. I just marvel at the supernatural power of God that was at work in my life at that time. I was talking it over with Peter this week, and I can think of some of the pivotal moments when I chose to praise God. Even the night Stan died, when my pastor and his wife rushed to be with me in the emergency ward, even though Stan was gone, he'd passed away, we praised God because we knew Stan was with him. Yeah. As I was in labor only 3 weeks later, I chose to sing worship songs. When Roger was born, Stan's mom and I praised God as we held our little Roger Stanley. I've always called Roger my little peace child because of the overwhelming sense of God's presence and peace that stayed with me through the days and the months after his birth. We FaceTimed him yesterday on his birthday, and oh, the tears started to flow again as I was reminding him of 42 years ago. Once when I was playing the organ at Stan's parents' home, his older brother was upset because I was singing songs of praise. He couldn't understand how I could sing. To me, it was like my default mode. It brought my focus off myself and onto the Lord. I had found promises in that Bible study that day on peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee, Isaiah 26:3. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. As I think about that last verse, I know it wasn't my peace, but God's peace that manifested in my life. So there's my eighth result of praise and worship. Peace. Peace is a result of praise. And don't we need more of that in the world right now? Philippians 4, verses 6 to 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is not a product of circumstances. Peace doesn't come when there are no problems. That's the way the world looks at it. But peace, God's kind of peace, is something that is there even in the midst of problems. It's a result of keeping our minds stayed on God. You know, it's actually because of Roger that we ended up at this church. Roger was leading praise and worship here, so we ended up following him here. It was such a blessing to be under his ministry, and this church had a lot to do with discipling him and encouraging him in his gifting. To all you moms and grandmas, you too can just be like that little mother bird, calmly feeding her babies in her nest. A mother bird that can sing her praises to her Creator God, even with the storm raging all around. You're not praising him for the circumstance you may be in, but praising him for who he is. Remember, whatever you focus on gets bigger and bigger. Magnify God, and your problem will shrink. Praise is God's antidote to fear and to the pessimism of the world. In the darkest times of your life, your praise to God should be the loudest. It will not only turn on the floodlights, but it will strengthen your faith and let the enemy know you're not afraid of the dark. I offer you three suggestions to get you started in praise and thanksgiving, because you may say, well, Kath, I'm not a singer. Well, you don't have to be a singer to to give thanks. Number one, write down three things you're thankful for every day. Start a journal. Three things that you're thankful for. Beginning of the day. Start the day outright. Number two, go outside and walk in our beautiful neighborhoods, parks, and beaches, and thank God for his creation. Number three, use the Book of Psalms as your prayer, praise, and worship manual. Read one every day. Or sing it. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Well, we want to pray for all the moms, the grandmas, and the daughters, so that's all the women. So could we have the moms and the grandmas and all come forward, and the men are going to direct their praise to you. I believe Pastor Ralph is going to come up and pray a blessing over you. Praise team, could you come back up? And if you want to stay after and praise the Lord some more with the praise team, you're welcome to do that. But we want to pray for all the ladies. Come on, ladies. Don't hesitate. Come on forward. We want to pray for you and bless you.
I want to thank you all, ladies. And this morning, we don't just recognize the moms and grandmas, even the great grandmas, but our sisters. We recognize the mothers of faith, those of you who have been pouring into the younger women in this church. We want to honor you. We want to honor all of the young women here who are serving God and looking up to God. And we just want to thank you for all that you are. And I just want to say to all the men this morning, I shared on online church today this fact. There isn't a man here in this room, in this nation, in this world, who has not had any kind of success, but that there has been a woman of significance praying, supporting, believing in, standing by them, whacking them in the back of the head when they need it. Women, ladies, thank you. Thank you. Could I ask us all to stand? And I want you to reach your arms out to these wonderful women of God in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you today. We thank you today for the women of faith, Lord, that is standing around here today. Mums, grandmas, sisters, aunts, Lord God, you've placed them in pivotal places of position to be an influence for you in their families, at work, in school, wherever you've placed them. Lord, they are an influence, difference makers for you, and I thank you for them. Be with them. Lord, bless them. Pour out your spirit upon them abundantly in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Are you ready to